We are reading this evening's song from the book of Jeremiah. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had taken in exile from Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have daughters and sons, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and increase. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for its welfare that you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts and God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners and those who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to them, the dreams that they dream, because for it is a lie that they are prophesying in my name. I did not send them, so said the Lord. For thus when then said to the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. I know the psalms I have for you, says the Lord, and the plans I have for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future that has hope. Then when you call on me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, I will see you. You will find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the places and nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
To seek the peace and prosperity of the city. How appropriate, how civic-minded. Yes, it is good for the prophet to remind us to be involved in the community. But hang on, who did he send this letter to? To the exiles in Babylon, the exiles who had lost their beloved city, had lost their property, their families. They should seek the peace and prosperity of the city of Babylon. Of Babylon? Of the cruel military power that had destroyed their city, their homes, their families. Babylon was the center of the empire that had taken their freedom, made them little more than slaves, dragged them from their loved ones. The places they knew, from the beautiful highlands of Judah to the urban flat expanse of Babylon. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city, the prophet says. Is it not better to fight the city, to harm the empire whenever we can, maybe to throw our lives on the wheel of the empire in the hope that sometime it might stop turning? Is it not better to give up, or maybe to be a martyr in the fight for freedom? And yet Jeremiah told these exiles to seek the peace and prosperity of the city, to work not for the cruel empire, but indeed for the flourishing, for the peaceful flourishing of the city, even though it may be a city full of oppressors, full of the enemies of their own people, full of a history of oppression and idolatry. And he told them to settle in for the long term, to build houses, to plant gardens and eat their produce, to marry and have sons and daughters, to continue the family line for generations to come. That is the word of the Lord. Jeremiah had another word from the Lord. The exiles are promised that they will return to their homes. Maybe not they personally, but their children and their children's children. And even though they knew that the city of Babylon will not be their permanent home, even though they knew that they or their descendants would be traveling to another country, they were told to put down roots. Even though they were far from home, the exiles were to live a life of faithfulness, but also of hope. The Lord declared, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That was the promise to the exiles. And they indeed lived it. They kept their worship alive. They grew in numbers. They participated in the life of the city until their time came to assist in handing the city over to new rulers, rulers that were not without fault, but rulers that, for reasons they themselves may not fathom, brought about God's promises. That is the story of the exiles. That is the story of one of the most inspirational letters of the Old Testament. This is not about civic duty, but about perseverance, about hope, and also forgiveness in the face of unspeakable suffering and loss. And do we take some of the words and rip them out of the text to put them on inspirational cards with nice graphics? Or maybe do we disregard them as a consolation to people 2,500 years ago, but with little relevance to us today? Or do we try to understand how they might speak to us now? Of course, every situation is different. Every time in history is unique. And God calls us to faithfulness in different ways to discern the sign of the times. We do not live under empires that have looted our houses, taken away our families, or forced us into servitude. We live under governments that care for the well-being of the population. We live in cities in which we are born or to which we have come of our own free will. We are served by organizations that value customers, have limits set by law, have codes of ethics. Maybe we feel at home. Maybe we feel we are not exiles, strangers, or foreigners. Maybe we should take other Bible passages to heart, passages about holding leaders to the word of God, of telling them in the name of God to work for justice and purity. And then we quickly realize that this would get us nowhere, that those pronouncements would just be laughed at. We are, after all, strangers among our own people. We are foreigners in the world, as Peter put it. To some extent, we are powerless against the control of some corporations and some institutions, even though we know that their values are not good and just. And even if the powerful corporations and leaders are not against our faith, they at the very least are confused about it, don't know how it could fit in. Often it is not our best interest that they have at heart, but commercial or ideological interests, and we are objects of the market or of fashionable policies. To seek the peace and prosperity of the city, yes, maybe we can do that too, not as people who have suffered under state's cruelty, but maybe as people who know that some of our city's interests and systems are only too flawed. If the Jews of the exile were to seek the prosperity and peace of Babylon, then maybe we are called to seek the prosperity and peace of Christchurch, of New Zealand, or of a globally connected world. A world that is in contention with our convictions, and in which we become complicit in much structural injustice. And yet, it is a city, a country, a world that is also a place of joy, of healing, and of faith. It is in this world that we are called to hope, to worship God, and to pass on the hope to new generations. We do not just give grudging recognition to an imperfect system, even though it is not fully consistent with our own opinions and ideas, but rather we recognize that it has limited authority. As those who profess that we follow the one who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, we know that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar or all the powers of this world. The powers of this world are not the ultimate authority in our lives. And so our value does not depend on the success of some political persuasion or other, or the perfection of some economic or political system. We know that they are at best distorted reflections of God's goodwill, and yet, as that they do have some validity, we have a greater authority, the one who gives our lives meaning and a glorious inheritance among the saints, the one who holds our times in his hands and is present in the turbulence of history. As we trust in God's care, we live in hope, hope in the one who does indeed have plans of peace, plans to give us a future and a hope.
Amen.